What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood
of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Though my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's bow. Heavenly Father, you've given us a beautiful day, a beautiful time, and a beautiful evening to come here again and help us as we sing these songs, knowing that nothing but the blood of Jesus can save us. He died for us. He done it for mankind, if we will be but obedient children of thine. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be at this time with those that are sick of our number. And we've got so many with difficulties that they face. And we want to remember everyone that was mentioned here today and even tonight, knowing that it's in your hands what happens in their life, Heavenly Father. But we pray blessings according to thy will, certainly for all the sick. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with us tonight as we sing these songs of encouragement. Encouraging words straight from your scripture, from your word, from your holy Bible. And we pray that as we sing this, we'll understand better maybe how to serve thee, because this tells a story in each song. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can help us. Be with us, Heavenly Father, as we strive to serve thee. We make failures many times in our life. Pick us up when we fall and stumble. Help us, Heavenly Father, and forgive us. Go with us through this service and help us to stay attuned to the things taught here. And forgive us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Number 557, Resurrection. 557, we'll sing all three verses. When Jesus stood at last,
I'll be reading in Psalms 130, verses 2 through 5. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be afraid. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in his word do I hope.
In his time. In his time. In his time. Makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time, in your time, in your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time.
Turn me to Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then if you'll turn me to number 537. Open our eyes.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord. We want to know Jesus, to follow and trust him, and show that we love him. Open our minds, Lord, to think of his goodness. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
And I'll be reading James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Our next song will be number 563. 563. Jesus, name above all names.
Jesus, name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord.
Glorify thy name. We'll sing all three verses of this song.
Glorify thy name.
55. That'll be our next song, and the passage is actually right below the title of the song, which is Habakkuk 2, verse 20. It says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." So let's sing number 55. The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence, keep silence, keep silence before.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at this time recognizing you as the one true and living God, God that is so incredibly powerful that we cannot even imagine the vastness of your creation, and yet so much of it has been revealed to us so that we can get just a glimpse of your incredible power and your incredible majesty. We're thankful, Father, that you have the love for us that you do. Although many times in our lives we don't deserve your love, we are so very thankful, Father, for the fact that you love us so much and you want so much to spend eternity with us that you are willing to have your Son come to this earth, suffer and die on that cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have a relationship with you and have the hope of heaven. We know that we have so much to be thankful for, Father, that if we started trying to number all of our blessings, we would never come to an end. We know that each and every breath that we take is a blessing from you, that you owe us nothing, and we are so very thankful for all the blessings that we have in our lives, for our spiritual family that we have here to support us and others throughout the world that we can hear of how they are working in your service, and it's an encouragement to us, for our physical families that bring us so much love and joy. We have so many blessings, Father. We are so blessed in this country, and we are thankful for all those blessings, and we pray that we would always look and examine our lives and see all the ways that we are blessed and understand that we have brothers and sisters throughout this world who may be suffering, not able to put food on the table or have a roof over their heads, those that suffer from persecution for their beliefs, and those that are suffering with all the many different illnesses and problems that come upon all of us. We pray, Father, that we would always be mindful of all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world and keep them in our prayers. We're thankful, Father, for our elders, and we pray that you would continue to bless them in their efforts to lead this congregation. We're thankful, Father, for Larry and the work that he does, for Bob and also for Leon, and we pray that you would continue to be with Leon and Ruth as they continue to deal with Mark's passing and all that they have to arrange because of that. And we also know that they both have health issues, and we're praying for them. On that matter as well, Father, we pray that you would be with Bob as he is traveling. We pray that you would keep him safe and bring him back to us. We're also very thankful, Father, for all of those who serve here as deacons. We're thankful for the work that they do, which makes our worship orderly and makes it easy for us to keep in touch with one another and keep up with all that's going on in our brothers and sisters' lives. We Also thankful, Father, for Chuck and the work that he does with us. We pray you would continue to bless his efforts, help him to be able to continue to bring us lessons that challenge us and help us to be able to take those things and look within ourselves, examine ourselves closely so that we can make the improvements that we need to make in our lives and that we can then be an example and a help to those around us. We are thankful, Father, for this opportunity that's been provided for us to gather together and sing songs, for all the encouragement that it gives to us. But we know that these songs are meant to encourage and uplift us, but they're also meant to praise you. And we pray, Father, that the words that we are allowing to pass from our mouths have started in our hearts, and that we truly are trying to praise you this night, and that this will come up to you as a sweet savor. We are so very thankful, Father, for all the blessings that we have. We can pray that you would continue to bless us, continue to bless all of our members who are sick, those who are struggling with everyday illness, those who have ongoing illnesses, and for those who may just be struggling with other issues not related to health. We pray that you would continue to bless each and every one of us. Help us to be there for each other, be with our shut-ins, and help them to know that they are loved, and that help us, again, Father, to be there in any way that we can for them. We also know, Father, that we have brothers and sisters who may be weak spiritually. Help us to be there for them. We pray that if we have the opportunity, we'll be able to say or do the right thing, which might cause them to start working their way back to where they need to be spiritually. Pray that you would continue to bless all of our efforts to serve you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
So we're going to read Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 107, 8 and 9. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now let's sing number 589. 589.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Please turn with me to Revelation 19. I'm going to read to you from Revelation 19, verses 4 through 6. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia.
Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns." Let's sing number 13, all four verses. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia,
every day. Number 330.
It's good to see each one of you this evening as we have this time together to worship God. As customary, we give an invitation every time we come together. Do you know there are some congregations that don't do that every time they come together? I've been in congregations during Bible class Wednesday nights, they don't do an invitation. I am grateful that we have an invitation every time we come together. I'm grateful because I'm not God, and I don't know what your condition is spiritually, and if it's not right, this is a very important time to make your life right before we walk out of this church building. In fact, I think the invitation, and whenever time we come together, not because I'm up here standing, the invitation is one of the most important parts of our worship, because all of us can go home, as we sang earlier, having the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all of our sins. So I'm going to give you a little assignment tonight. You can choose to ignore it, or you can choose to do it. And what I'm going to do is going to give you four sections of scriptures very quickly. But I'd like to, if you would like to do this, write those passages down, and then this week, meditate on them as to serving God his way. The first passage I'd like us to turn to is Matthew chapter 16. And Matthew chapter 16, very well-known passage to all of us, in verse 26. This is where Jesus makes the statement that is so important for us. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, he states, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now let's just kind of think about this verse for a moment. Everything you have is temporary. And in this society, we put a great deal of concern on our physical looks. And I'm not suggesting you can't be concerned about your physical looks, but trust me, as you get older, your looks are going to change, more so for the men than the women. I've seen this happening. But let's understand this. The most important thing we have is not our legacy, is not our looks, is not our position in society. The most important thing every one of us in this audience has is a soul. A soul that will live on to eternity. God has given us that soul. And that should be the most important things. Think about what Jesus said here. Can you imagine gaining the whole world? Can you even comprehend that thought? And yet, if you lose your own soul, what good is it? Because you have to leave it all behind. So for those here tonight, perhaps you're not right with God. Consider how important your soul is. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The second passage we'll think about for briefly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. We have here, as Paul is writing to those at Corinth, he states, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." And of course, we understand that we become rich because we renew a relationship with God. We have the strength and peace given to us from God. And we have the hope of eternal life when this life is over. But that was all made possible by God's love and mercy and his grace and the grace of Jesus Christ, that he left his estate in heaven to die for me. He left his estate in heaven to die for you. You know, sometimes we only think of the word rich in physical terms. And that's really sad. Now, I will say this, if we think of rich in physical terms and we take a worldwide picture, you and I are rich in physical terms. But the true riches is a relationship with God that leaves you and I to have that home in heaven, and that could only have been possible through Jesus. Jesus had to leave his estate in heaven, live on this earth as a man, live a sinless life, have a cruel death, so that you and I can become rich. That's the second verse. Let's go to the third verse. Titus chapter 2. And Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 15. Again, I suggest you go home, study these passages this week. Meditate on these passages as they teach a lesson to us. Titus 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us," remember we just went from 2 Corinthians, "who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." I like verse 11. It says, "The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to who? Has appeared to all men." I think you would agree with me that God's grace is available to everybody. No matter how wicked we might think someone is, the grace of God is available to them. Doesn't mean they'll receive it, but it's available. Just like the grace of God is available to you and I through his Son. But let's not forget the next verse, because in verse 12 it starts out by stating, "teaching us." Now, as I've said before, I may sound like a broken record, but it's good to have repetition. What's teaching us? That goes back to the previous verse, does it not? The grace of God is teaching us. Now, how does the grace of God teach us? Well, in Acts 20 and verse 32, through the word of his grace. So when we think of the grace of God, we think of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and rightfully so. But when we think of the grace of God, we should also think that God's grace teaches us. It teaches us how to live. A lot of people don't pay attention to the latter part, do they? They talk about the grace of God through Christ. Amen to that. But now that grace should teach us. It should motivate us to live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world. Again, very simple passages. I know we have a lot of books in the library, the church library. I have a lot of books, well, not anymore, but I used to have a lot of books in my library. I left a lot of them at the previous congregation. But you don't need a lot of books to understand this. It's quite simple. So we began with our soul. We began with Christ, became poor, that we might become rich. And that we've got his grace available to us. And when it says teaching us, I use Chuck's paraphrase, live like it. In other words, if it's teaching us, let's live like it, as is taught herein. And then one final passage, turn with me if you will, as we look to Hebrews chapter 5, and Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And having been perfected, and I use this passage a lot, and I don't apologize for such, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, if you happen to be here tonight and you haven't repented and been baptized for the remission of your sins, we haven't taught on that topic, but it's clearly taught in Acts 2. If you don't understand that, some of the men or whoever will sit down and study with you on that. We want you to understand. As I said before, you say, well, it's the water that saves. No, get that out of your mind. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood of Jesus Christ at the point of water baptism that gives us that salvation. Remember, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So do you need water baptism? Absolutely. Do you need it immediately to be saved? Absolutely. And then after water baptism, the grace of God teaches us to live in a way that's pleasing to him. So if you are ready, if you understand, and if you don't have the blood of Christ covering you, won't you come as we stand and sing?